Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I just pray that you have had a blessed week, a blessed day, and I pray that if you are in any type of circumstance, that you would just continue to cleave and rest in the Lord. He is our salvation, He is our anchor, and He is the one who does everything according to His perfect will for our good. So I just encourage you to not give up, to not let loose of God's unchanging hand, that He is our way, He is our life, and He is the one true God that can do all things. He is abundant. He is perfect. He is our love. So you just keep on keeping on, keep on holding on to God's amazing hand. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. So I just encourage you to hold on to His unchanging hand. Now, we are in studio today, and this is a day of blessing. This is a day of rejoicing. And I have an amazing brother in Christ, a guest in studio with me today. And I just want you to be blessed by Brother John Manuel. And I call him Raymond, but his name is John R. Manuel. And I thank God for our brother in Christ, and he is going to be such a delight. God is going to use him in an amazing way to bring us a wonderful lesson. And the title of this teaching lesson, believe it or not, it is a teaching lesson. And the title of this lesson is called The Night Before Jesus Came. Now, I just encourage you to listen with intensity and have your paper, your pad, your pencil ready, or your device, whatever you use to make notes concerning the night before Jesus came. So I want to introduce my brother in Christ, our brother in Christ, Brother John Manuel. And he is going to share his heart concerning this teaching today about the night before Jesus came. So come ready, come hungry, come thirsty to the table of God, that you would receive rich manna from Him as He leads us through Scripture concerning who this baby named Jesus is, why did He come, and He will let us know for the whole world to see. So thank you, Brother Raymond, for being in studio today with me, my special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. As you say, my name is John Manuel. I'm from Appaloosa, Louisiana. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm glad to be with y'all today. Amen. So,
amen.
Amen to that. So, praise the Lord. As the Lord leadeth, as the Spirit of the Lord lead, we're going to go the way that the Lord has called us to go. You know, we're going to acknowledge Him, His goodness, and why He came, and exalt His name. That's what we're going to do, exalt the name of the Lord and the Spirit of God. You see, and that's what it's all about, that men can be free in Christ Jesus and know the love of Christ through the love of God and the Spirit of the living God. And So that's why we are here, and we're going to allow the Lord to use you and I as he used to. The night before Jesus came was given to me by the Spirit of God. And it goes like this. It was the night before Jesus came. And all through the house, and not one in the house, their Bibles were laid on the shelf without care, in hope that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing, the crowd into bed, not once kneeling or bowing their head. Mother in a rocker, with baby on her lap, was watching the late show while he, and then out of the east, there arose such a clatter. He sprung to his feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window, he fled with the flag. He tossed open the shutters and drew up the sash. But what to his wondering eyes should appear was an angel proclaiming that Jesus was here. Let the light from the sun send forth a bright ray. He knew in the moment this must be the day. The light from Christ's face made him cover his head. It was Jesus returning, just as he said. And though the man possessed worthy wisdom and wealth, he cried when he saw Christ in spite of himself. In the book of life, which Christ held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. Not a word as he searched for his name. When he said, "It's not here," the man hung his head in shame. And those whose name was written in love, Jesus gathered to take to his Father above. Though they were ready, Christ rose without a sound, while all the rest hanging around. The man fell to his knees, but it was too late. He had waited too long, thus sealed his feet. He stood and he cried as they rose out of sight. If only he had been ready that night. In the words of God, the meaning is clear, that the coming of Jesus draws so near. There is but one life. Then come the last call. We find that the Bible was true after all. So give your life to Christ. Don't hesitate or delay, because tomorrow's not promised to you. Salvation is today. And in the book of Romans, chapter 10:9, so whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. We call on you and invite you into our heart. Be our Lord and our Savior. Heal us and deliver us. Lead us and guide us. We thank you for your salvation, Father. We thank you for Christ that came and died for us. And we ask in Jesus' name that you give us your Spirit to lead us. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you and we ask your forgiveness. Now, don't you really want to go back with him to see those paths smiling again? You see, they arise first, and us together, we're going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up to meet Christ in the air, and those left behind would think it unfair that a God of love leaves them down here to go through the pain, the woe, and the fear. But today is the day of salvation, you see. The Lord, he set you free, like in the days of Noah. He was building an ark. The people laughed at him, See, he wasn't so smart. A man that built a boat and there wasn't no water, but building it the way that the Lord had ordered. Then the rain came. He thought he was wrong, but it was just too late because the boat was gone. Thief in the night, Christ will return. So you better get ready so you won't get burned. Get in the word and renew your mind, because there won't be water to find next time. Read the word. Read it, believe it, and receive it. And may the Lord bless and keep you all. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That was a beautiful, beautiful illustration of the coming of Jesus and why he came and getting our life right, our hearts ready for the return of Jesus, and even letting us know about the Lamb's Book of Life, and even moving us to the understanding that it won't be water again, but fire next time. So, Brother Raymond, if you could if you would expound on some of these sweet nuggets within this poem that just basically carved out the reason why Jesus came.
Amen. The real nugget of it, that Jesus came to show his love for us, and he not want our garments, but he wants our garments mean our possessions. He wants our heart. So when we turn over our heart, we're not no perfect people, but our love for Christ and his love in us can be. You see, we go through a lot of war and the fears, but the war and the fears going to come anyhow, but the war and the fears do not bring salvation. Salvation came only through Christ. And if we accept him, then the war and the fears can't hurt us. It can give us problems and this and that, and problems and situations all change. But if your salvation is sealed in Christ, it can't be taken away from you, because he is the giver of life. And when you give life to the fullness, because he is life. And when you give life, it's giving himself. So when you allow Christ to operate in your life and you give your life, then it's hidden in his, and God will bless whatever Christ sees. So that's the real nugget of the thing, is the giving of your life and the bringing of peace. And in this date and time, we need the peace in our lives. We need to know that Christ came to deliver that peace, and nothing on this earth can destroy the peace. Not the peace of the world, but the peace that lives on the inside of a person. That's what this poem is about, the peace in Christ, salvation in Christ, and knowing that he came for us all. Amen?
Amen. And that is rich when you reiterated not the peace that the world has conjured up for man to understand what peace is, but this kind of peace is the peace that comes from God and God alone through salvation. And you said peace that lives on the inside of us. And this is an understanding that most of us, brothers and sisters, need to understand, come to an understanding that it's not the world type of peace. It's a peace that is only given by God and that is rooted on the inside of us, as children of light, as the body of Christ. And this is what Brother Raymond is is explaining to us that we need to fully understand through salvation and the scriptures. One other little nugget that came out as you were saying this, the richness of this poem, was when you indicated that don't let it be too late. Now is the time. And it brought me to that parable, Brother Raymond, in Matthew 25, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. There were 10 of them. 5 had enough oil in their lamp, and 5 did not. Let me read it for the benefit of the listeners. So if you've got your Bibles with you, if you would turn to Matthew 25, and I'm going to read it in the New King James translation, but it really brought to light when you were reading your poem, and I want to bring out this particular passage, and that's because it just kind of hit me as I was listening, and we're going to start in verse 1. Of Matthew 25, and this is the parable of the wise and the foolish. And I believe this is relevant for us today, is to be wise about giving our life to Christ, meaning today, be ready. So listen to what it says, and you follow along in your translation, but I'm going to read it, and it reads this way. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And that's verse 11. And I will read verse 11 and 12, and I'll read verse 13 and stop there. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And isn't this a fitting parable for the night before Jesus came? And it just brought me to this particular passage. The Holy Spirit just led me to this particular passage in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, that it helped me understand better understand. And I hope as I read this that it helped you better understand, my brothers and sisters, what we heard in with Brother Raymond concerning the night before Jesus came, and especially the last verse, 13, watch, therefore. Keep watch, therefore, because today is the day of salvation. Today, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Brother Raymond, what do you think about this particular parable and how it relates to us today? As you had indicated, today is the day of salvation.
It relates, like verse 5 says, while the bridegroom came and the people slept and they slumbered. You can't
yes.
sleep and you slumber, because the world will have you believe that every day is every day, and every day is, because you wake up every day. But we sleep in our spirit. We don't see what's going on, or we don't realize that time is passing. So when you sleep and you slumber and you have no relationship with the Lord, or your relationship is lax, whatever they may be, you know, you strengthen your relationship by prayer, praise, and worship. And you don't sleep. You don't allow your spirit to sleep in the slumber. Your body is resting. It's staying. Can be a lot of other stuff. But your spirit man should not sleep and slumber, because there is another afterlife, and Christ came to bring death in the spirit. In the spirit. Now, the oil that she was talking about is the oil of your spirit. Have fresh oil in you, that whatever may come, you can arise to it. You can cope with it. If your relationship is with Christ, you can cope with whatever come up, because the hand that he going to hold us in going to be stronger than whatever come up. His love going to be stronger than whatever come up. So we can slumber on the Lord. Sleep and slumber in rest for the body. Yeah, I can agree to that, because we need it. But to sleep and to slumber, and not like verse, what the 13, see, therefore, watch therefore. That's what we do. We watch. We therefore we watch. We watch. And we wait on the Lord. Like a thief in the night, Christ will return. Don't sleep on it. Get your relationship right with Christ. And when you got your relationship right with Christ, even though days passing and the days look the same, but it's not. The anointing is different every day. Your salvation is growing every day. And one day it's going to end. The life's going to end. Physical life. You rise up on the other side and we see things. So this life here is not the end of life. The end of this life is the beginning of the next life. That's what the poem is about, salvation in Christ. Salvation is moving on, and we all got to move on. We done had loved ones that done moved on, but they're not dead. And they're absent from this world is to be present on the other side. That's what salvation is about. We need both. We need it on this side, and we need it on the other side. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that you are so right to keep the believers, the weaker ones, and the stronger ones, the body of Christ, to keep us focused on the real reason why salvation is so important, why we have what we have. And we're talking about those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Brother Raymond did indicate the prayer of salvation to give us an opportunity to accept Jesus today. So as listeners to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, we can't assume that everyone who listens to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus. And so as Brother Raymond prayed the prayer of salvation, and he brought us to the attention of Romans 10 and 9 in Scripture, I want to read that particular passage. So if you could make note of Romans chapter 10, and we are going to read, I'm going to read through a verse, I'm going to start at verse 8. I'll start there. And again, this is Romans chapter 10, and we're going to drop down to verse 8. And I want you to follow along in your Bible. And then, Brother Raymond, I want you to expound on this for those who may not know him. Because, again, this radio broadcast is listened all across the world in countries that we would have never even dreamed of or been able to get over to minister to people concerning Jesus Christ, our salvation. But we have this wonderful platform to be together. So let's read, and I'm going to start at verse 8, and it reads this way, Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? Question, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Now, that's what this broadcast does. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him, that's capital H-I-M, Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Gent or Greek, for the same Lord all over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Brother Raymond, if you would just give some rich insight on those passages, just as you have in the teaching of the night before Jesus came, but if you would just help those who may have accepted Jesus today as their Lord and Savior to have a little bit of understanding. Now, before you do, Brother Raymond, I want those who are listening today to keep in mind that you may have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, but we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church as you have accepted him in your heart today. Seek out a Bible teaching church that you would be baptized, that you would get up and let the world know. If you were baptized by submersion of water, you would rise and let the world know that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. And that you would tell somebody that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and seek out a small Bible study or a Sunday school class that you would be discipled so that you can grow and go in grace. That you would be used by God to let someone know about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Letting someone know that you testify that you have accepted Jesus Christ, that you are a child of light. Now, we encourage you, the angels rejoice that you have accepted Jesus, but be discipled in a Bible-teaching church and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, that you will continue to grow and go in grace. So, Brother Raymond, if you would just give us some rich insight on those passages in Romans chapter 10.
Yes, in verse 10 says, for one believes in the heart to righteousness, but confession is made unto salvation. Believe. When you believe from the heart, when you believe, even if you don't see, just believe what Christ said. His word, you see, his word will not come back void. Nothing going to fall to the ground unless he performs it. He stands over his word, watches over his word, perform them. So if you believe it to work his word, you got to keep his word. He's going to keep it. So if in believing, whether you see it or not, you trust God. Sometimes our eyes see things that we don't believe. But the belief comes from the heart. The heart is changed. It's made unto, confession is made unto salvation. You believe unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation. You confess him before people, and he got to move. He got to keep his word. He's a God that cannot lie. He's a God of truth and righteousness. If he says something, it's done. So when you trust and you believe, you believe your salvation. Every day might not be, you're not going to wake up every day, and it's going to be perfect every day. But the salvation that's in the hands of the Lord is perfect. So when you trust and you believe, when you trust and you believe and you confess to yourself or to others, and you grow in it, like Kanita say, be disciple. You grow in it, you let the Holy Spirit disciple you. If you believe something long enough, it's going to get in you, it's going to dwell in you. What's in you will come out you. So when you believe and you trust the Lord and you allow the Spirit to tell you about you and I had to go through all of this, tell you about you and I, tell me about me, then I started believing, and things started coming forth, and my eyes was open. I could see. I can see things, not just physically, but spiritually come over. When change come over, then you're being discipled. You get with someone that has been changed, or being changed, and you speak with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, or disciple all of us. That's where it comes from. It don't come from man. It comes from the Spirit of God. And when you disciple and you stay long enough, you learn. You can't get out there and run too fast, because you got to be disciple. Amen.
Amen, amen. And that's our growth spurt, when we are discipled and discipled in the Word of God. And you have someone who is mature enough to disciple you, whether it be the Bible-believing church, the Sunday school class, and radio broadcast that you listen to on a daily basis, maybe when you go into work, or you have your favorites, and I know that Mission from the Heart is one favorite of yours, but we are discipled through the Word of God, the Bible, and the words from Genesis to Revelation is what we allow to breathe upon us, to shape us and mold us like good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And we start showing the character of God, the love, joy, peace, according to Galatians, and kindness and gentleness, patience, long-suffering, self-control. And these things would be shaped within us, and soon we would see that fruit come through us. And, of course, that being the heart of God just using us in order to draw others into the ark of salvation. And so we just encourage you to be discipled and seek out a small group Bible study, because according to what the Bible teaches us, just as we've read in Romans 10, and we saw how the virgins, some were ready and some weren't ready, but those who've accepted Jesus, we are ready to for his return. And this is what we are to confess with our mouth. Just as John the Baptist did. Correct, Brother Raymond?
Amen. Amen. John the Baptist confessed that he was not the Christ, but Christ had came to him. We all got, if John had to receive Christ, we got to receive Christ. And when we receive him, then salvation comes from no other name but through the name of Jesus. So we receive Christ, and that's our salvation. But let's go back to what you were saying, being changed in the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are changing. You find yourself doing one thing before you get saved. Then after you get saved, things change. You find yourself, all those little things start dropping off. You don't do this no more. You don't go there no more. You don't do this no more. Like you used to do. But the Spirit is what changes. The flesh is going to do things over and over, but the Spirit changes. The fruits of the Spirit, when the fruits of the Spirit get inside you and the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to find yourself praying more. You're going to find yourself dealing with other people's problems and solving theirs when you got one. And yours going to go to nothing because you're helping out someone else. That's how the Spirit disciple you to be a disciple. That's how he teaches us the fruits that was come in us, what you put in you, come out you. Like the point says, read the word, receive it. What you put in you, the Spirit of love in you, is going to come out you. If you put the Spirit of joy in you, it'll come out you. If you put the Spirit of forgiveness in you, it's going to come out you. But vice versa. If you put the Spirit of unforgiveness in you, it'll come out too. But it'll come out in anger and everything else. But God gives us a Spirit of forgiveness. When you forgive, as the word says, forgive us our daily bread, forgive us. Give us our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. When we forgive, God can forgive us. So all that anger is not coming at you if you forgive us. If you hold something in, it's going to come out in anger. So we learn how to forgive and let the Holy Spirit disciple us. She talked about being disciples. So we be discipled by the Spirit of God, not by people. God uses people, but it's the Spirit that cleanses us from the inside. So when we be disciples, allow the Spirit to deal with you and I. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And that is a very important point to bring out as we understand that it is the Spirit of God, because a lot of us, as, and I'm talking to believers in Christ, we have to get to the point to where we're not dependent on man to disciple us through the word, that we listen to the voice, that small, still voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, yield the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. submit to the Holy Spirit, that he will disciple us. He is our counselor, our teacher. He is our comforter. Scripture talks about that. And so we have to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit, not grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit, but be submissive, obedient to the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. And so this is such an important, very important point that the believers, the body of Christ, grow to understand, that the Holy Spirit who lives, who sits on the throne of our heart, deep inside, and wants us to learn how to obey God. And that is a great work of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us to teach us and lead us and guide us and shape us and mold us so that we can obey God and what he wants us to do. When we want to go left according to the flesh, the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 you go right. Regardless of what it feels like, looks like, and unforgiveness is a big problem within the body of Christ. And we are called to forgive. And so, Brother Raymond, that was a wonderful point to really reveal and bring out, is discipled by the Holy Spirit and not allow man to shape and mold us and conform us to the world. And I'm talking about the children of light, the body of Christ, brothers and my sisters. Don't get it twisted to the degree to where you are listening to man more than you're listening to the Holy Spirit. And it's an exercise, a practice, of course, through the Word, with the Holy Spirit, and God's unctioning and still small voice to lead us and guide us. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So, praise the Lord.
Brother Raymond, I just wanted to also ask if you would bring out richness concerning those who have an unforgiving will. They just choose not to forgive because of someone who may have hurt them or may have treated them in a way to where they're not willing, and that's why I say an unforgiving will, unwilling to forgive them for what they may have done, depending on the degree or the of the wrong.
Amen. You know, forgiveness is a choice. You choose to forgive. If you choose not to forgive, you hold yourself in bondage. Unforgiveness will hold you in bondage. It'll block up your blessing. Because if you don't forgive others, then you can ask God and you want his forgiveness. But if you can't forgive others, then unforgiveness will stop your blessing. So when you release it, it's a choice. You got to choose to do it. Now, it ain't going to be easy. You just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive that person. You might not want to be around them, but you pray for them. You ain't got to sleep in their face, but you pray for them. You pray. And when you start praying for them, forgiveness is going to come to you. When you start praying for them, forgiveness is going to come. And when you learn how to forgive, you're going to find things shaking off of you. It ain't going to be a heavy load to carry no more. But forgiveness is essential for us, not for the one that's done you something. You forgive for yourself. It won't keep you in bondage. You see, I had to learn that. I had to forgive. So it wasn't for the, and it helped the other person. Don't get me wrong. It helped the other person. But it helped me. It helped me. And when I chose to forgive, it set me free and it set others free. Because you come together and you start talking. If you've got a problem and it's tension between people, somebody got to forgive. If God forgives, then we got to forgive. So when you release it, it's a choice to me. You make the choice to forgive. Whether they want to forgive you or not, you make the choice. The benefit and the blessing is for you. And the benefit and the blessing is yours, and it'll spread to them. It'll spread on your family. If you forgive, it'll spread on your family. Same way, if you hold unforgiveness, it'll bring tension inside the family. It'll bring tension to you and tension to everything around you. But when you cut it loose, Your eyes going to be brighter. Your spirit going to be livelier. You're going to have a pep in your step, and you're going to be free from whatever it is. Now, try God. Don't take it from me, but try. You tell the Lord, I forgive. If you can't talk to the person, you get a chair and you speak to them in person. If they're not around in the past, you put it in and you say, Lord, I forgive them. Give me that. And praise be to the Lord. I ain't saying who is wrong or whatever. It's not being right or wrong. It's being reconciled. Husband and wife is not being right or wrong. It's being reconciled. If you love the person, don't let tension come between you. If you got to move away and pray before you can say forgive, then do it. But forgiveness is essential. You got to forgive. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And I just want to read some verses in Scripture concerning forgiveness, because this is something that a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ struggle with. And that is a forgiving heart. And we know that Jesus' death on the cross is the focus of what he did on the cross for us, his blood. And so let's look at Ephesians 4:32. Now, you don't have to turn to your scripture, to the Bible, unless you can do it pretty fast or you're using your device, whatever the case may be. But my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to make note of these verses or these scriptures so that you can go back and read them and reread them in order for the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to reveal what he wants you to know and understand. So let's make note of Ephesians 4:32, and it reads, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And this is what Brother Raymond was expressing, letting us know that we are to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because Christ forgave us. God in Christ forgave us. And then listen to Mark 11:25. "And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against someone, anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Matthew 6:15. "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's Matthew 6:15. And so these are just some nuggets, just some verses to help us understand the importance of forgiveness in our life. And I'll read Colossians 3:13. So make note of that, Colossians 3:13. "Bearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you," me, "so you also must forgive." So as Brother Raymond indicated, this right here concerning spouses, wives, husbands, brothers and sisters, siblings, cousins, co-workers, regardless, that we are to forgive each other.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So this is something that we have to continue to do as we sojourn through this land. We are to shine like a city on a hill. lights that reflect the love, joy, and peace on the inside of us. God's love, God's peace in His amazing way. Brother Raymond, what do you think about us being lights in a dark world, especially in these closing days of grace?
Yes, light in a dark world, and unforgiveness will keep that door closed, keep that light out.
Mm.
You see, unforgiveness will darken the light in you and I. We're going to talk about us, you and I, because we was people. We are no greater than none of them. The Bible says, whosoever call on the Lord shall be saved. So none of us is greater than. So when we got darkness in us, unforgiveness will bring that darkness to a heavy darkness. But when we forgive, the light shines in us, and it'll brighten up some things in others' lives. It'll brighten up things in your life when we forgive. So that's where the light shines. We started off with the night before Jesus came. That's what we started with. That's where Jesus came. Jesus came, all that we went through, Jesus came to bring us all of this. Because we in our flesh didn't notice this, but had to be given to us by the Spirit. So when those things operate in you, like those things operate in you, when the Spirit operates in you, the night before, so if those things come to you, know that you have received all the blessings that the Lord has spoken unto us this day. All of the blessings. And whatever the Lord has blessed, no one can curse. Now we, circumstances, situations, and everything else come up in our lives and we have trouble, but that's not to destroy us. It's only to make us stronger. Because if we trust the Lord, day for day come and we're going to walk through things. But we got to walk through it with the light of Christ. His word is light. He talks about forgiveness. If he said in a prayer that was given to us that we must forgive, as the scriptures you brought up telling us we have to forgive, then we got to forgive, and we get lighter. And the darkness get brighter. We move from glory to glory. Like, as this program started, we done learned something from the beginning, and even as we grow, we're going to still be learning something. You talked about disciples, being disciples. We're going to be disciples through the words we done heard. The words we done heard going to speak to us all day. And we're going to grow in it, and our light going to get brighter. See, a light that's on the hill can't be hidden. So let your light shine with forgiveness and love. And know that God loves us all, no matter what. His love is essential for all of us, and nothing can separate us from that love. So let that love in you, you and I, shine, and that light going to be shining, the light of Christ going to shine within us when we trust and we believe. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This has been a wonderful, wonderful teaching lesson today, the night before Jesus came. And I tell you, it is so fitting. It is so fitting for the believers to get an understanding of salvation. And Brother Raymond, I totally, totally thank God for your obedience to do this broadcast today with me, to be in the studio as my special guest. It was such a refreshing just to have you co-labor in love with me today. And I pray, my brothers and sisters, that you have received some richness from this lesson today. And it won't be the last time that I have my special guest in studio with me, Brother John Manuel. Now, I call him Brother Raymond, but his legal name, if you will, is John R. Manuel, and he will be in studio as a special guest with me again, if Lord will. And we just thank God for him. I thank God for you being a faithful listener to this broadcast, and I pray and hope that your day be filled with the blessings of the Lord continuously, and that you would grow and go in grace, and that you would continue to be with us again on next week with Mission from the Heart Radio. Now, I just want you to understand that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever. Brother Raymond, do you have any last words or closing words on this lesson today, or for the listeners to grab a hold to? Now, we've grabbed a hold to a lot of rich nuggets today from the beginning to now, and I thank God for what he has revealed to us. But any words that you want to share, encouragement?
Amen. Just grow in grace. Just allow, talk to the Holy Ghost, talk to the Spirit of God, because the love of God is for us all. And we, like I said, we're not always perfect people, but our love and the love for him and his love for us is. So grow in grace and be slow to move, to listen to the Lord. Listen, be slow to act, trust the Lord, and allow him to show. But when we move too fast, we mess up. Don't move without the Spirit of God, without prayers and praise. God bless you all, and may the Lord keep you, and let his face shine upon you, and let the light in you grow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So this brings us to the end of this particular broadcast today, but we will meet you again on next week. And as he has prayed, we just continue to let the Lord's light shine upon you. God bless you, my brothers and my sisters.
Amen.